Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the second interview with Mr. David Lee in Los Angeles on December 11, 1979, by Sue Ellen Chan. Yeah, Mr. Lee, why this restaurant called General Lee?
Oh, the restaurant originally called Man Zhen Lao, and that's my grandfather established as we come down. And after World War II, and all my brother come back from the service, and then at the meantime, we used to have quite a few writers, reporters from the Times, from the Heralds, from the Mirrors, always drinking at our bars, and then we become very good friends. So the name was adopted by Paul Colt. He's a writer, he's an editorial writer and so forth, he's a real good friend of ours. Then he always say, he said, you gotta have to do something, change your name. I said, what for? You know, you got so many low over here. You look at a telephone book, you're Chui Yun Lao, Chui Fa Low, Yat King Low, on the low. My God in hell, you guys Lee, why don't you guys go on General Lee? And, general, you know generals, but my Romanov is no prince anyway, so they call him Prince Romanov, so what's the difference over your name? So we adopted the name ever since around about 1949 or 48 somewhere.
I see.
But ever since that name been magic, as far as I go, the name is well known. In fact, it's international known as far as General Lee is concerned in Los Angeles, so we are quite a proud name.
Did you associate mostly with Chinese or non-Chinese? You have mostly Chinese friends or non-Chinese friends?
I get all kind of friends as far as I go. I have much as Chinese friends as American friends or Japanese friends, so I get a lot of friends.
How about American blacks and...
Black, I just have very few because my area doesn't too mix up with the blacks somehow. You know, maybe very few because I don't contact them.
Did you feel yourself more Chinese or more American?
I'm Chinese all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I say Chinese American. You have to be American. We've been here there now. So I'm the third generation, and my nephew and their kid, is more than American right now. But I still have that Chinese culture background also
mm-hmm.
because I was studied back in China
mm-hmm.
for 6-7 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot be cleaned away from me.
Mm-hmm. Do you sometimes feel that? Sorry for being Chinese.
No way. No. No way. Because I'm real proud to be a Chinese. And I would say, especially recent years, that I have worked very close with PRAC, People's Republic of China. And I also have gone back to China about 4 times. And see all those historical things down there. We ought to be real proud of ourselves because we have culture way back 6,000 years, so no other nation could claim that. And even Jesus Christ, we have culture before Jesus Christ was born, so we should be real proud of that part.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I know a lot of young kids went back to China, come back, and I know my nephews and all that. They real proud. I took them back, they come back now, my golly, they think more about being a Chinese and being white as far as I can say.
Has that changed lately, in recent years?
Just lately, lately, ever since the roots coming out, find out, and everybody's searching their own backgrounds and so forth, and then when they found their heritage, my golly, they were surprised that they had that far people,
But then before, most people probably would think it would.
Well, I would say before, the one that have no connection on that darn thing, that's they changed completely, especially, I would say, after World War II, the kid was born and so forth. Yeah.
So, would you think that this you were typical of most other Chinese or different, like you were so proud of being Chinese and you are straight? Chinese. Is this typical?
I would say Songpanzhi.
And most Chinese?
I would say the one that nearby Chinatown, completely down the born and raised around that area and so forth. I think they in roots in this community part of them, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
If they live far, far away from it, there's no other Chinese around them, so therefore that they do not.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, even right now, I have a friend of mine just came back, they live way in Orange County, but every other week they come down to Chinatown, it seems like home to them. They come back there, see their own people, have a cup of tea or do something. It's that it feels so relaxing when you come back to your own community. This is what is important part. Yes.
Mm-hmm, I see. So, talking about your family tradition, do your family observe any Chinese customs?
Well, I would say when my mother is alive, yes, we do very much so. But since she passed away now, so I think what? Well, we've also been very busy and keeping up the young activity now. So I think little bit by little bit, I think we're losing it myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. I see. So like when anyone in your family got sick, did they prefer Chinese or Western medicine in those days?
No. There's no run away from the must be a Western medicine, because America do have the most progressive one in medicine anyway. So our Chinese maybe, or you caught a cold or something that you hate or something like that, then we go in the Chinese medicine. But other than that, I was very heavy on Western.
Mm-hmm. Were there many Chinese herbalists around Chinatown in the old days?
The old days, yeah, there's a few, but just like Cook. All the head chef has practically died, the new generation doesn't take into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that even the cooking is changing quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. But in the old days, the Chinese would visit the Chinese herbalists all the time, or they are not that popular?
No, they
Chinatown.
Are popular. They were. There are always a few there, yeah, they could exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the one that died down after World War II, because there's no herb coming in there, so. So most of the doctors either convert to the private business somehow, so once they get that thing started from their own field, they make a better living
mm-hmm.
from it, so they don't even, so that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever eat any medicine-oriented food at home when you were young? Your mother ever cook like a bowl?
Oh, sure. My mother used to cook every season, and during always have the Chinese zhong tamale and all the activity by the sun and then noon and all they will preserve some of those customs
mm-hmm.
but as our generation now I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean medicine oriented.
Medicine
like chicken cooked with some special
some herbs and things
herbs
like that. No. I think we'll do away with those things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So, in recreation, did your family prefer Chinese things or Westerns, like in the old days?
Well, I tell you, Julie, we've been so busy trying to survive
mm-hmm.
that we don't take too much activity in any things from the association or any other activity, because we just work.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go to like Chinese opera, Chinese movies?
No. Yeah,
but I mean before when you were young,
yeah.
This never happened.
Once in a while,
mm-hmm.
very seldom.
There was a Chinese opera.
There's
house.
Not too many. No, there's not too many. A long time ago, way back in 1927, yes, they have a Chinese opera house. Yeah, we would go there at that time. Yeah, when
the whole
little.
Family would go.
Yeah, when we were little.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we enjoy it. Yes.
So, do you ever have chance to go to American movies at that time, like 1920s, as well as?
Oh yes, we go see cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see. You play ball games. Or?
Yes, we play we have ball games and all that.
Mm-hmm. Like in the early days, 1920s.
In fact, the early day in 1928 or so forth, if I recall, 29. In town, we have a little playground, Chinatown, a little playground. I think there's some pictures around, some people still have got it, but I don't know where it is. And all the children and kids and grown-up kids would come out and pick rocks and things, make a playground. They call it Chinatown Playground.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to the stable where I was born, so
mm-hmm.
it's right in front of the front yard there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was very intrigued at that memory. I'm still always hanging on. I think that we don't have much at that time, but when we get a piece of land and they come and level for us, mm-hmm. so we have a baseball diamond, and then we also have a couple of basketball and so forth. That was very
active. Who made that?
I forgot. There's a playground director. I think that's.
Is it Chinese?
No, she is Miss Cook. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
I recall it. It was a long time ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, like in the old days, that you play American like ball or basketball. And do you remember any like Chinese games that kids playing?
No, when I not see the old people used to play John Kay and all that, mm-hmm. Go and all that. I think that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. I see. But do you write to your relatives and friends in China, or your parents, or your even?
No, my parents. My parents used to write back there. So
mm-hmm. Write to all the relatives that they have to send money to them.
Right. Yeah, we always send money.
Did they write to your parents, your relatives?
Oh yes. Well, I would say that every family at the time they come to America, they always have some root back in China, and then they always taking care of them monthly or so forth. Mm-hmm. The communists take over at that time, then everybody start. I think that after the communists took over, I think the overseas Chinese have a great change. And that thing, because at that time they can't send money out, so they keep it. So all the Chinese right now go back into that, so they could buy property and so forth. And then I think the standard start as growing up is getting better, not getting worse. Mm-hmm. But the old day they have to take care of two families. They have to take care of the family here. They have to take care of family back in China. So whatever they do, they miss out. But actually, Chinese say yan wo da fu, and then it benefit to the darn thing. And I still would say that like Arizona and Hawaii and all those Chinese and that thing, if they have to keep on sending money back there, that they wouldn't have the chance to accumulate that dollar to invest property over here like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, the change is that way. So I think this is the great thing about it.
Mm-hmm. So most of the people who have to send money back to China, they were not able to save any money, or
very little saving. That's not true.
If they don't have to send money back to China, how would they do with their money? Do they save it?
Oh yes, I think the Chinese are very thrifted, and as far as that go, they all not over live their standard or whatever. They always save for the rainy days. Customary. I could prove right now that we have four bank will go and five bank institution of this community. Cathay Bank is consists of almost 130 some odd million, and then Bank of America 100, and then Far East National Bank was hitting 30 some odd, and I happen to be the director of that bank also. Mm-hmm. And then there is East West Saving and Loan, that's over 40 some odd million dollars. So in that community, I think we have over 300 some odd million dollars in this
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
So it showed the strength of our Chinese community. We are very thrifty and so forth.
In the old days, where do they put their money?
See, the old day is really a shame. Sometimes they could leave it at their family association, or sometimes they leave it at some store that they use all their transfer back from village to here, because they go job to job sometime out of town, so that's where they used to save it somehow, you know, just by trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. Some turn out good and some turn out wasn't so good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Money is a very evil thing. When people's got it, they just forgot about it, they, you know. It's a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, did you or other people that you know join any association in Chinatown? In the old days.
Oh, in the old days, my grandfather belonged to the BK.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Bing Gong Tong, that's a long time ago. But I guess in his time, and I think you in order to survive among your community, also they are going through the same thing with currents that's going in right now. Their own people start coming in, and there's only one bowl of rice to everybody fighting for it. So if you have a little association to tack it on, I think nobody bother you. If you don't have it, they just kind of pick on you a little bit. So that's the trend that's going. You're not educated, so forth.
Did your family ever belong to any family association?
Yes, we belong to the family association. We belong
Which
to
is,
Dong Chen Gong So, Chen Wu Yun. That's also family association.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't belong to this family, you belong to the...
No, Chen Wu Yun, because originally we're the same Wu.
Mm-hmm. Your parents, your father's name is also Wu.
So
Wu,
yeah. Uh-huh. So
but your father has an American name.
Li Fan,
yeah, I see. So, which were the most important families in, like, say, 20s or 30s in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles at that time? Well, Chen Wu Yun wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Wong family pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Wong family and Chen Wu Yun and then Lao Guan Jiong Jiu, that would be the strongest one at that time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Quans at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Quan and the Liu, they usually go into the restaurant, I mean to the laundry business. They were very strong in the laundry business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Wong was kind of strong at that farming, the produce,
mm-hmm.
and grocery probably sometimes.
Why
were
they so important? That, you say Lao Guan Jiong Jiu, they were...
Well, they're in the laundry that time. They see another one. One family started down things, so they help each other, show them what procedure on at this old day.
Mm-hmm.
The laundry business is...
Okay, we were talking about these families, and they were so important because they were all help each other to...
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Those family when they also have from your village also, Zhongshan they have their groups, and then Toysan have their groups and so
mm-hmm.
forth. It's all very helpful as far as I go
mm-hmm.
at that time.
How did they get along with each other?
As far as I go, they get along pretty good. And the only thing they do not get along too much is the gambling. They were fighting for the same bowl of rice. I think the gambling people was in.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that the only area they compete?
Yeah, that's the only area. Usually the strongest trouble started from that
mm-hmm.
even the criminal part section, usually on the gambling section.
Mm-hmm. How long this gambling things going on till?
The gambling lasts until right after Mayor Bowen took over. That's what I say, 19... I think around about 1940, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have gambling all the way until then.
Mm-hmm. Even the Chinatown move here to New Chinatown, there's still
there's
gambling
no gambling in New Chinatown at that time, though.
So when these people move out from
old Chinatown, yeah.
And then the gambling...
I would say that, after Joe Shaw got hanged on that thing, you know, the mayor Frank Shaw got hanged on that thing, so 1940, I think this the gambling is not
mm-hmm.
wind down completely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that will benefit the Chinese quite a bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Would you describe that incident?
Oh, incident? We never go near those places, so I can't tell you too much about those, because our folks are forbidden us even. Walk inside at all,
mm-hmm.
but you heard a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young boy, so I don't pay too much attention to
mm-hmm.
that. But I know it's no good and so forth. Have mm-hmm. you seen it?
Which individuals do you consider to be prominent Chinese in Los Angeles before World War II, and why they were so prominent?
I think at that time when I'm like, there's two persons that was very prominently respected by the community. One is the attorney, Y.C. Hong. He's our first lawyer, only lawyer. I think, in fact, when I was president of the Chinese Chambers, I always look up to him, I respect him, so he was, we nominated him for the most achievement Chinese in our community, which is so much deserved. But because of, he was half a handicap, he's a hunchback, and he passed the bar when he's the age of 23, and even practiced mostly immigration lawyers and so forth. And the second one I would say is Peter Su Hu, the one that put this Chinatown project together. And he was an engineer in water and power. In fact, at that time, he was the only Chinese engineer, a graduate engineer, and worked in water and power. So when they worked for the white men at that time, we practically almost kowtowed to him. Why, that's our goal, just to try to be where he is in water and power, because at that time, there's the ratio was very strong at that time, and then he was also worked pretty high, and then he went through quite a bit of things to put this Chinatown together, so the credit should be due to him and his hard work. Mm-hmm. So there's two persons that I would look up to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what kind of job were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
I said before the war, it's four different kind of jobs. So-called Chinese Sei Dai Gun, Yi Xiong Gun, Chan Gun, Du Gun, Fo Chong. That means that laundry, restaurants, gambling, and grocery. So that's four businesses, and that's only trade they could afford to do. And then some of them used to be houseboy, and clean up, the field sofer. And then there also a lot of farming, not a lot, but this before the early part, there's a lot of Chinese in farming. But after the depression down, they lose out somehow, so they didn't, and then the Japanese start taking over farming. So.
Where did they work in the farm?
The farm, San Fernando, they have quite a bit. That's a Wu family and a Chu family. And then Downing, that's the Wu family, Paul Chen's in their family right now. So, and then Wong family, the Wings and so forth, and the Quan family also.
Mm-hmm. So those jobs are mainly all Chinese jobs, or?
Oh yes, they almost all.
Did Chinese ever have chance to go into none? Non-Chinese.
No, I don't think
profession.
So. At that time, I think this gentleman is still alive. It's Charlie Luck. He graduated as a pharmacy, but he never able to get a job. You know, he's 80 years old now. As far as I go, we used to sit and talk to him, listen to him. He graduated as a pharmacy, but nobody would hire him. So he ended up. Next thing. He was working as a janitor, and the second thing, then he went in the insurance business, so he went end up in the insurance business.
Mm-hmm.
He also speaks Filipino and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, did most Chinese live near other Chinese, or would they move if the neighborhood changed just to stay near other Chinese?
I would say they tried to live close to the Chinese as possible can.
Do you know of any Chinese who were involved in politics in China in the old days before World War II?
No, very few. Very, very few.
Why they...
Well, that's very simple at that time, is that being Chinese is like a class citizen in the United States over there.
Mm-hmm.
They have no voting powers and so forth, but the only one that get involved is, I would say, and gambling, which they pay under the table, so only a few was involved in that thing, so nobody dared to say anything about that part. So therefore none, I would say. In fact, I even right now there's not enough come out. I would say I'm one of the few that I've been getting involved in the commission of the city of Los Angeles for the last 7 years since we're with them. That's what we miss out on. I think I would be very much so to see more people get involved in politics, because that's in order to get into that, you only get your fair share. Otherwise, if you don't get nothing, you always be bypassed in some form.
So like in the old days, whenever the Chinese have to deal with the American public, so in terms of the political issues, who will represent them, or they just don't deal with them at all?
There's very few, because like at that time we have six family, strong, we have a little respect, we don't get to go to the American court because we know we're not going to get a fair deal, so by bottom go there, so we used to have our own thing. So somehow they settled the thing in between some of the relative or so full, in between they go, well, let's settle that thing and that kind of thing. So that's how they work in the old days. Yeah.
The Zhonghua Weiguan represent Chinese and to deal with the American peoples if they have any conflicts.
I don't think they do a whole lot myself. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
they do. They usually take care of their own laundry. That's about it. Too. Own troubles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Did many Chinese feel they had obligation in China?
What's that again?
Did any many Chinese feel they had obligation in China, for example, family support?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
You
oh, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why they came over this country. They all maybe work like mad and to save, to send one of the relative come over here. And they usually send the most capable one so they could go over there and earn a good living so they could take care of the whole family or the whole tribe, whatever.
I see. Were your grandfather the only child in the family, or he has brothers?
No, my grandfather, I think he have, he's the oldest, my
mm-hmm.
grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he have another brother, yeah.
Came over.
Mm-hmm.
So the and then two of them will send money back and support the rest of the family.
Probably, yes.
So, were the Chinese in Los Angeles affected by the Depression?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. During Depression time, I know, I remember down there, many people just work for nothing, just for to have the place to hang their hat and have food to their, those days.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, during the Depression time, those families didn't come back in very handy, because they always go back and hang their hat. They have a bowl of rice or something, and I think that's cost a heck of a lot, and I think do well. So.
Who are the people suffer the most at that time?
I think we all suffer. All Chinese suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that a certain party or one. We all suffer because We like the bottom pole, just like the blacks complaining right now that in Depression time they would be the first one out of job because they're uneducated, they're unhandicapped and everything else, and I think they're not,
mm-hmm.
So it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why all the overseas Chinese is so eagerly to send the children to have a better education so they could go a better field. None of them, even mine, folks or other things, hope the next generation will get better education so they don't have to go through the way what we are doing and that kind of thing, so it'd be better themselves.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever feel there was hostility toward Chinese in Los Angeles?
Look, at that time I would say I was too young, and there's no doubt about it. At that time there is, because I recall at that time, the old days, they used to come to the restaurant, and after they eat, they don't pay the bills and all walk out, because like they say, being Chinese, you're short, you're not big, they're giants, they just eat, what the hell, they finish it, what are you going to do about it? You can't, they like to have a fight so they can beat the hell out of you so they get a big bang out of it. They happen, they've got those days. But that's just a past. I recall one time that they come in there, they not only didn't pay the bill, they went in and break my goddamn toilet so the water flowed over and they get a big bang and walk out of the thing. Well, that's nothing.
So would you consider Chinese to have done better or worse than the general population in Los Angeles in terms of economical I said, would you consider Chinese to have done better or worse than the general population in Los Angeles?
If, look, I would say any person, regardless of race or Chinese or any other nationality, if you got the two to do with it, you know, education, finance, and so forth, we could all do better, yes. Mm-hmm. But at that time, most of us were lucky, fair enough to have, if you have 2 or 3 years of schooling, at that time you had to go to the mills and start making a living to support the family and so forth. So if you could be able to graduate from high school, you're one of those fortunate ones and so forth. Many of them been over here. I would